All right, thank you very much to the city council and city managers.
Sounds great. I'm going to ask and all candidates the same 7 questions. Question number 1, city council requires a significant time commitment, usually 2 to 4 meetings a month, as well as reading prep prior meetings. How will this fit in with your other commitments?
I don't foresee any problems, any kind of conflicts with my other commitments. Absolutely, this would be a top priority, and that's how I feel about it.
What do you believe is the role of the city council in our community?
Well, you know, this is a maritime community, so I'm going to use a maritime analogy. So I would say that the city council are like officers on a ship, and they set the direction, set the course of the ship, where it's going to go, what's the location. And it could be, you know, involving ordinances, other policies. I look at the city managers as the crew who get work on the ship and get the ship where it's supposed to go. Mike Harmon would be the bosun in this case, and we'd have the carpenters, etc., public works. And that's how I see the separation.
Do you think you have any personal or professional relationships that can become conflict of interest while serving another city council member?
No, I don't have, there's no friends of mine on the city council, and I don't have any, no one that I know of, as far as like business and coming for the city. So no conflicts there.
What is your approach to handling controversial or complicated issues?
Yeah, I'd say, just remind myself of what this is about. It's about citizens of Plain Talk. So when I hear about controversies or complications or anything of that nature, I'm just thinking, the very first thing I think of is this citizen of Plain. What are they going to benefit from? After that, it's a matter of, again, the maritime analogy, navigating treacherous waters. You know, when it comes to communicating with each other, you are a team, you would be a team, and the team members have to recognize that that's who they are to each other, and it's going to require respect for each other, not knowledge, to speak respectfully to each other and to listen. And I honestly believe that just patience and listening to the other person is going to solve a lot of problems.
What skills and experience do you have that you believe would be beneficial to you as a council member?
Sure. Well, look, I love being on teams. I love teamwork, and I've been on a lot of different kinds of teams. I was in the Marines, I was on teams. When I worked at Intalco, I was on a lot of teams and crews. Recently, I'm now in with Lane Community Theater. As far as performances go, that's a team. And I like being on teams with people working together. And I like the idea of leadership by example, but in the other, I also respect being a follower. And following requires being respectful follower, to recognize who has the skill, who has the expertise, and then to defer to them respectfully.
What previous community involvement have you had in Blaine or any other city?
Well, as I said, I'm a member of the Blaine Community Theater, and I've participated in theater performances, or at least one, at the Blaine High School. I'm active in the Blaine Arts Council activities for my wife, who's an artist. I belong to the local VFW, Post 94, 74 in Custer. I've worked with the Watkin Humane Society Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, and currently I'm a duty officer for the American Red Cross.
And lastly, based on what you know about city government, what do you see as the top priorities for the city and why?
Right. Well, it's kind of changed in the past week. I've had a chance to talk with people and get some information. I've actually put disaster preparedness way up on the list, more so than I might have previously. But disaster preparedness is got to be up there with public safety, because it's public safety. That's the the public safety issue. And I would actually also put affordable housing even in the same category as public safety. It's important, and so it's, I would rank that up pretty high as well. Public works, I mean, the infrastructure has just always got to remain at the top of the list. After that, so I would say that I personally would love to see a development of a centrally located facility for theater and the arts and performing arts. That's what I do believe would really help out to increase revenue, tourism, and just quality of life for places.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So, Eric, in a small municipality, finances are consistently an issue. If we have a revenue shortfall, what are your plans and thoughts in the either in the short term and in the long term for dealing with those kinds of things?
You bet. Yes, get the money. That's and spending the money that you have wisely. So those two things. In general, should be obviously said. I would say that bringing in people, Canadians, for example, bringing them in, having them spend their money, and going on, continuing down to Seattle is at least one way. And so one of the things that I've mentioned, of course, is the idea of having a centrally located facility for performing arts in order to attract the people that I do believe would come here, involve themselves in the community that way, and then spend their money. So on the side of getting more revenue, there are a lot of different ideas. And I think it's a matter of sitting down, researching, coordinating with each other, and getting that part of it correct. As far as the spending side of it, well, personally, I think quality, anything that is bought, ought to be a quality product. And I'll give you an example. So in my discussion last Monday, I believe, with Mike Harmon and Sam Crawford and Mayor Stewart, I asked Sam, I know that the city had been looking for line people to work here. There were two positions that were necessary. And so I thought, well, okay, I asked him, well, like, what's going on? He said, well, we did manage to get one person, but we're still kind of struggling to get one other person. And, well, what's up with that? Well, we're certainly offering top wage, as should be in this case. And I thought, okay, great. What's the root? I mean, with also, can we get the second person? Well, they want, like maintenance guys, they want that overtime. I get it. I used to be one of those guys. So then I understood that the point that I'm trying to make here is that anytime anything is spent, it shouldn't be a cutting the corner. It should not be a cutting a corner. It should be trying to get qualified, products and people. So that's my general idea that's my general thinking on that subject.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for us?
Well, let me ask you this. So when you're meeting and discussing things and doing research, I recognize having, when I'm looking at the handbook, that obviously there's a division of labor. How much research do you as individuals do? Or do you basically say, hey, managers, can you do this research for me? I'm kind of interested in learning about that.
I think all of us might have a different approach as it goes. I'm a person that, to a fault, doesn't ask for help, and I tend to go down rabbit holes and probably overanalyze and overthink and over-research. So whenever I get the packet, I spend quite a bit of time over-researching it. But that's just my train of thought, my method, my process. Anybody else?
Sure. I'm kind of focused.
Sure.
I tend to get very wrapped up in my assignments and
concept with the senior center and also the DTAC. I'll do a tremendous amount of research and try to research some products that come before the board and treat.
I think there's a real balance between leaning on the expertise of staff who have all the background and can get all the information and they've seen all the trial and error, balancing that with what citizens elect the council to do, which is try and also say, what do we want this town to look like and feel like and how do we want it to operate, and try and strike a balance between those two things.
Coming back on what Richard said, yeah, similar kind of thought process, right? Like, I try to not go in with too many preconceived notions of stuff. With that being said, you know, you do. You have the stuff you bring with you. But I try to go in with not a lot of preconceived notions and then see what the people think, direct staff in a specific way, because their time is valuable, right? They don't need to be running down what this Eric wants in terms of, you know, how many points of passengers we're going to need, right? They need to work on real stuff. So we've got a lot of really good boards and committees that we'll talk stuff over and are really involved in whether it's tourism or planning or public works that go through the minutia, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's the hope is that when we finally make a decision, there's been a lot of people that have discussed it and looked at it, as well as ourselves. So.
Yeah, another question that I would have is, so I'm sure that when people come to council meetings that they have an idea in their own head about how they think things should be, and various their own, say, projects that they would like to get off the ground. And I did mention, probably, you know, when it comes to trying to have some more centrally located, more resources for a performing arts type of a facility. Does that, I guess what I'm, and you can be, please be frank, does that, given what you know, does that sound naive? Is there some naivete involved in that kind of a suggestion, in your opinion?
You know, before the current tourism board person took over, I was on the tourism board for 4 years or so. And the thing about the tourism board, at least from my perspective, is that you have a lot of, the first thing you have is a lot of people with a lot of great ideas. That doesn't always go to follow through necessarily, right? I've had 100 people come up to me with 1,000 ideas, and they don't want to follow through on any of them, right? That's the problem. And we, the collective, the city, can't afford to do all that stuff. I'm a big proponent of if you want it done, like if you want a community theater done, to get the support from the city council members to say, can we put something on the bill for an additional, not on the bill, can we put something on the ballot, right? Not here, not these seven. Not the list, but the ballot that says the people of Blaine or the people of Blaine Birch Bay or whatever community theater voting district has, and if they say, you know, double the price of milk and put it toward a community theater, great. And if they say, terrible idea, I also think that's great. So for me, that would be a way that would be, you potentially could get a great deal done that way, but if you're looking for us to build something, you know, we're not going to be doing that.
Understood. Yeah, no, I totally. I absolutely recognize the necessity of the private-public partnership. No question. It's just obvious. And I am hearing what you're saying as far as follow-up. You have this idea, follow-up. Yeah, I see that.
And you only win the shots you take. So there's nothing wrong with running something up the flagpole and seeing whether or not you can get some traction on it. And then if you do, then it can snowball into something great.
Yes, I see that. Let's see. I know I just maybe got a couple of minutes. Just want to say I would love to participate civically in on the council, just saying. I believe I have much to offer as far as well energy, knowledge, and certainly enthusiasm. It looks like a fun job. And I'd love to be a part of it. And thank you very much. I appreciate your giving me the chance.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
It's been nothing but fun.
Nothing but fun. Yes.
All right, next up for interviews, Jimmy Sorrell. Okay, same set of questions, and then we'll follow up with any questions we have off the beaten path, and if you have any for us, it would be appreciated. Question one, City Council requires a significant time commitment, usually 2 to 4 meetings a month, as well as reading prep prior to meetings. How will this fit into your other commitments?
I have currently strategically put time aside for civic involvement, and I currently do quite a bit in the city of Blaine, so I already have time selected.
What do you believe is the role of the City Council in our community?
Can you repeat the question real quick?
Yeah, no worries. What do you believe is the role of the City Council in our community?
The City Council's role in the community is to ensure the well-being of the community members, the infrastructure, the money that is on hand for the city budget to oversee that it's invested wisely in city projects and for the community as a whole.
Do you think you have any personal or professional relationships that can become conflict of interest while serving as a council member?
No.
Question four, what is your approach to handling controversial or complicated issues?
Complicated and complex issues is relatively easy because you come at it from the standpoint of a level head and kind of how you want to be treated in the same way. And so with respect, listening to each individual's perspective of the conflict or the issue at hand and looking at it as a whole and then coming up with the best solution for those conflicts for the community at large.
What skills and experience do you have that you believe would be beneficial to you as a council member?
I currently hold certificates from John Hopkins and Columbia University in smart city development and sustainable cities and transportation and planning. I also have leadership, chamber leadership development, and I have other nonprofit stuff inside the city and other cities that I've been in, and so I have board of director involvement. I currently co-founded the Blaine Community Foundation. I'm a volunteer at the Senior Center in Blaine. I take a lot of involvement in the city with meeting with different businesses and city officials and school leadership to kind of be involved and kind of see what the city needs are.
Thank you. And that actually answers the previous community involvement that you've had in Blaine or another city. So we'll move on to the last question. Based on what you know about city government, what do you see as the top priorities for the city and why?
City budget is one, making sure that we have the budget to meet the needs of staffing as well as the infrastructure with utilities, and buildings and streets and parks. But also to have future funds for future planning, hiring more staff, or redoing roads or parts in the community, improving utilities and future projects, as well as zoning, you know, coming up with the proper zoning for the industrial zone or the business zones and different things of that nature.
All right, thank you. And do you have any questions for us?
I do not at this time.
Does council have any questions?
Yeah, it's the same question as before. It sounds like you just about answered it completely on the last question, but do you have anything to add to the finance part of your thoughts? Because with small municipalities, finances are always a problem. So short-term and long-term, do you have anything to add to your answer from before regarding how to properly use finances or increase revenue?
Yeah, so I think increasing revenue obviously comes partially with tax on goods or property, but I also believe tourism is a big portion that can be offset to not having to raise taxes in certain areas. What does that tourism look like? We have Drayton Harbor that has so many avenues for recreation, working, different things of that nature. We have an awesome marine park area that looks like there could be some future planning to create some amazing development and tourism there, as well as just finding grants that the city could qualify for and offset some of those burdens to taxpayers as well as the city. Like I said, I co-founded Lang Community Fund, which hopefully that fund will help community members in the city and projects that we want to see done in and around Lang.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question here. Compared to the state of Blaine, like 5 years ago, compared that to now, what do you think we're on track and have done right, and what do you think we could have done better over the last 5 years in Blaine?
So I wasn't here 5 years ago, but from the sounds of it, it's remarkably turned around for the better. I think some things that we need to do a little bit better on is strategically looking at the surveys that we have been taking for heights requirements, parking requirements, and different zoning amendments, and kind of seeing how the strategic picture can unfold in maybe multiple use housing areas where retail and housing are in the same area to help with our affordable housing crisis that we currently have. And you know, the teachers at the school need affordable housing. The 400 border patrol agents that are currently looking for housing, but they're going to Linden. So I think strategically looking at some of these things that we have studies on and seeing what that looks like in the future and where in Blaine does that fit in to, have teachers here and border agents be able to live within the city where they work.
Do you have a perspective on permits and regulations? Do you think we should have? Do you think we have the right amount of permits and regulations, or should we have more, or should we have less?
I have not looked into detail on that, so I don't have an answer for that, because I don't know exactly how many permits or procedures are in place for that currently.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, thank you very much. Is Juliana Kenny here?
Hello.
All right, City Council requires a significant time commitment, usually 2 to 4 meetings a month, as well as reading prep prior to meetings. How will this fit in with your other commitments?
Sure, so I run my own business. I am my own employee, and I'm basically in charge of my schedule on a daily basis. I accept work from my clients on a contract basis, and I design my schedule around the flexibility that I need to do anything that I want to do in my life, which is great because that means if I need to be here at 4 p.m. on a Monday, then I make sure that I don't accept work that I can't do to commit to this other projects and time commitments.
What do you believe is the role of City Council in our community?
I believe it is to create policy that informs how the city operates, and to listen to community members and represent them in the best interest of what they'd like to see happen, and then drive policy forward for the city employees to enact.
Do you think you have any personal or professional relationships that can become a conflict of interest while serving as council member?
I do not.
What is your approach to handling controversial or complicated issues?
I think that it's very important to actively listen to people who are bringing up issues that are a little bit thorny for you, or might be, you know, of conflict for other people. Active listening being not bringing your own agenda to that conversation, which is challenging for lots of people. I think that in this role, it's probably a really great skill to have. But if you can, I believe that, and I've seen it in my career and personal life, if you actively listen to people without bringing your own ideas to what you want to say right after they finish, then they feel truly heard. And I think people who feel truly heard can back down if there's something controversial going on, or get less heated, or then you can start to actually talk about something that's complex with level-headedness as opposed to heatedness. So I think that that's probably the top way to approach something controversial.
What skills and experience do you have that you believe would be beneficial to you as a council member?
I think I have strong communication skills, verbal and written. I'm a writer by trade, so I make my career basically taking technical concepts, I'm in the technology industry, and boiling them down into digestible, compelling ways that people can read about this information and then make decisions on it. So one of my skills is research on complicated issues that I then am forced to turn around and make plain for other people. I have also been told throughout my career that I have great people skills and work great on teams, have high collaboration skills. I also personally think that I'm a natural curious person, and I love learning. I think that my desire to learn lends it well to my career, but also in general might lend it well to a position like this that involves having research and learning things you might not be an expert in order to make really important decisions on.
What previous community involvement have you had in Blaine or another city?
So far in Blaine, I've been here for 3 years. My community involvement has mostly been patronizing events around town, the art walks, the gardening classes at the library, the community theater, the high school theater, and in general enjoying this town. And I would love to be more actively involved and participate in the community. In a different town, so I spent most of my life in Norwalk, Connecticut. The last 2 years that I lived there, I launched a branch of V-Day, which I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's a global activist movement to end violence against women and girls. And the way we did that was through community theater. The programs that I launched in those 2 years, each year we raised $5,000 to $6,000 that went directly to domestic violence, anti-domestic violence programs, centers for survivors of sexual assault and violence, and those types of organizations in the community.
Based on what you know about city government, what do you see as the top priorities for the city and why?
Well, after my meeting last week with Mayor Stewart and City Manager Mike Herman and Sam Crawford, the priority to me seems to be figuring out ways to generate more revenue, as per your question as well. Because, as was explained to me, which was very enlightening, the ways that we need to generate revenue are limited in terms of property tax, so sales tax it is, right? And figuring out how to get more people here, as the last two candidates have mentioned, with creative ideas to get more people in town, patronizing more of the events that we have, you know, creative ways to make this a more ideal community for people to spend money in. That seems to be the greatest priority in order to ensure that the general fund, you know, doesn't experience a shortfall or anything that causes us to have to slash other parts of services that we might, that we are essential to the community.
All right, thank you. Do you have any questions for us?
I do, actually. I wanted to mention, which is sort of like a tag on to that last question, a second priority, but tied to that priority, just before I ask you guys my questions really quick, is the public perception that seems to be inherently tied to maybe other priorities that the city council is dealing with. That being, you know, I heard from Mayor Stewart that we, as local governments, struggle to communicate to people enough and broadly enough that, well, there's a reason why we're talking about building higher buildings downtown. It's because we need to generate more sales tax to get more people in here, to be spending more money. We need to develop downtown Blaine, regardless of how much water view you want to have. Like, that has to happen in order for Blaine to not lose money and then eventually, like, something's fallen into disrepair, right? Or have to slash services. People in this community, I don't think, know all the details about why some of the decisions are being brought to the table here. So the secondary priority being that correcting some public perception, I think, would be crucial. Actually, do you have an idea about how we might do that? I can share with you after my questions or now, whatever you prefer.
Sure, yeah.
So Mayor Stewart was saying that she goes physically to events and talks to people, which I'm sure is amazing, and actually word of mouth, you know, straight from the mayor is probably super helpful for people to learn more about, for example, why we're talking about some issues at City Council. But I think that it would be more effective if we had a digital way to do that, so people don't have to happen to meet Mayor Stewart in person. And there are email services that we could use that could create some sort of a digital town hall, is sort of my idea. This could be an email newsletter that goes out to anybody who signs up for it in the community. What it would entail is sort of like, basically like a medium-length newsletter that would bring forth, here's more information about why we're talking about higher building heights downtown. The reason for that is because XYZ money problems, or whatever it is, you know, whatever we're allowed to say. But I learned so much in my one-hour meeting last week with Mr. Harmon and Mayor Stewart, and they were so clear about some of these issues that I left with just like light bulb ideas, and I didn't have that before. But who in this town gets to have that FaceTime with them, you know? It's unusual, I'm sure. So putting information like that, that's coming from the experts and people making decisions, into something digital that probably wouldn't cost that much money, that could go out to anybody in this town who wanted to learn this information, I think would be a great service. I personally, and my friends in Blaine, have all wondered the entire time that we've lived here why there are so many empty shops downtown. And I didn't know until last week that it's because of an absentee landlord problem. So that's very basic information that I think the community might be lacking in certain ways. And it could be alleviated if there was an email that went out, let's say, twice a month, that, you know, was easily digestible, people could consume it quickly, and we could even take questions perhaps from the community and answer them in some type of email service like that. Anyway, that's my idea.
Thank you.
But I do have two questions really quick. I'd love your opinion on what is the most challenging part about being a city council person. I'm sure everyone has different answers.
Are you one? Not being able to communicate one-on-one in this council. Yeah, not having verbal communication and being able to respond to these citizens' concerns makes it very difficult. It creates hostility in the community. And like you were saying, it's hard to get to every single person. That makes it very difficult.
Also, we've been harassed by a group that is, that's why this is in place. And it just, all they do is tear us apart, tear us down, tear us this, tear us that. Everybody's got a right to talk, but these people were, that is beyond. We spend more money on attorneys than we could on building something 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, they made our life miserable, and it affected everybody else by their decisions. Mm-hmm. So, that's my opinion.
Another big issue is that you were just describing an example issue, but almost any issue that comes to city council, there's a flip side to, and when you think, oh, there's only one right answer, you might find that the exact opposite is also true at the same time, and almost any decision you can make, almost any move that the council and the city government can make, is going to have some winners and some losers to it. Mm-hmm. So almost any issue where you're going to think you fully understand it, you do that thing and you find out there was some downside for somebody somehow in some other way. And the questions I would ask you is whether or not you think you have the capacity to be open to, when you think you're right about something, to be able to do the research and find out what is the opposite of that opinion and why would there be an opposite to that?
And for me, kind of to piggyback again on Richard, is to be thoughtful about that decision that's made. That's the hardest thing for me. I don't really care if the Northern Light quotes me in a way that makes me look bad or if people don't like me. It does not matter to me. What is most important is that the decision I make for the city of Blaine, and the city of Blaine is not necessarily the people who work for the city of Blaine or us, or the people or the developers or the business owners, it's everybody, right? So what's the greater good? And that's hard. That's hard because every decision that is made in government it gives a ripple effect, right? There's a lot of unintended consequences, whether it's changing zoning for housing or whether it's implementing a new, you know, homeless policy or something. So it's that that's for me the toughest. So.
I was curious if you wanted me to answer that.
Sure, that would be great.
Okay. So I understand the question to be, would I be open to understanding the opposite side of something that I would decide on? I'm actually extremely interested in learning what somebody might say to disagree with me all the time. I have to do some of that in my job. I've also been told by several people that I should have been a lawyer. But anyway, I have a personality trait, which is I love to debate. So I'm always very interested in both sides of one coin. And I understand that there's always going to be a loser, and especially local government decisions, which is unfortunate. But it seems like if you can make a decision where there are the fewest losers, then you're probably making the right one.
And just look at the history, you know, where it keeps happening over and over and over again. That goes into the play too, you know, because you see something going on here for 30 years and nothing happens, and all of a sudden things start happening and the other part gets upset about it. So, mm-hmm. You know, it can't be all one way, I get that. But look at the history, look at what they've tried to do and look what's happened until this crew here has gotten a lot better.
Right.
You look, we're trying to think forward, because every one of these guys that come in and do a survey on the city tells us exactly what to do. They tell us about the parking. We spend money. They don't do it. So who's to blame? And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. We all have to work together on this. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get a difference of opinions, yes. You will, and that's good. I mean, we don't want to all be one way. Let's go.
For sure. My last question is, are there any specific issues that the person who will fill this role should know about? Any expectations they might not be anticipating or priorities that are coming up that they should think about in advance?
I would say the only downside is, unfortunately, they won't have much say in the 2025 budget. I would say that's probably I mean, when you boil it down, some of the biggest powers of council is really setting the budget, setting priorities for the city, so that person is coming.
Not quite. Oh. Inc. We're discussing the budget. We haven't passed it.
Correct.
Our new council member will be actually on council when we come.
I'm saying have input.
Right.
Input and direction to it.
Is it for me?
As I asked the other council members or the other interviewees about the financial struggles of small municipalities, and you answered it somewhat, but what are your thoughts in either increasing revenue or decreasing expenditures as far as short-term and long-term for the city?
Mm-hmm. I do share the previous candidate's suggestions about creative ideas for more tourism, because that seems to be the primary way that we can drive up sales tax in this town, getting more people here to spend more money in our shops, making downtown more appealing, as they've already discussed as well. But the ideas about, you know, making the parks more desirable to spend time in, as Jiggy mentioned, we do have a beautiful marine park that I go to 5 times a week, and there's nobody there, and I'm like, well, this is nice for me, but wouldn't it be great if maybe there were more people? drawing people to downtown more, and like I mentioned, I think that the ways in which we would do that would involve community backing, and if we could really communicate to people why we're going to be trying to build out more events downtown, more buildings downtown, then maybe we would encounter less pushback, which would be crucial, I think, for getting the town on board with any ideas that get followed. You have any follow up to them. I guess that's my
thing. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Is Michael Ashton here? Michael Ashton?
Yes, sir.
Podium is all yours. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Yes.
Can I approach council? Yes. And I'll be asking you these same exact questions.
Hopefully I'll answer the same answer since I have on the sheet.
All right, so I will ask you the same set of questions, and then we will have some time for Q&A. Question one, City Council requires a significant time commitment, usually 2 to 4 meetings a month, as well as reading prep prior to meetings. How will this fit in with your other commitments?
He should meld well. I currently sit on the board for an escrow credit union. We have significant prep materials, so we have to review for that. So I currently work Monday through Thursday. I'm able to shift that to Tuesday through Friday if required. So I see most meetings on Monday.
What do you believe is the role of City Council in our community?
It's a great question. Generally, I think you bring the concerns of the ward that you are from to the council's attention, and you try to temper that with what is required and for the good of the entire community, the broad vision for the city.
Do you think you have any personal or professional relationships that can become a conflict of interest while serving as council member?
Not that I'm aware of. The only folks that I know professionally in blame the police department, members of the police department. I just met the chief this weekend at the Oyster Festival, met him before in professional engagements, very engaging fellow, but other than that, I think that's it.
What is your approach to handling controversial or complicated issues?
Well, there's lots of complications. complicated issues. Everything is significant to someone in the community. What I try to do is break them down into their component parts, and then address the component parts of the problem one step at a time. There are many ways to address issues. I just think that that as long as you can bring them out in council, and you can come to a consensus, and then your individual voice ends in council, and the council voice sort of takes over from there as a united voice for the community on issue.
What skills and experience do you have that you believe would be beneficial to you as a council member?
Well, as I stated, I've spent 10 years on the board of directors, 5 of those as chairman of the board for Industrial Credit Union, so I've had a little bit of board experience. Previous to that, I spent a year on HOA for Sun Valley, which is a very complex issue. I was trained as a hostage negotiator, and I think a lot of those skills actually came into play there. I worked in law enforcement 32 years and addressed the community on multiple issues. Gone into the community, met community members, come up with community problems, come up with community solutions. I'll get into that later in one of the other questions, but you just need to be a problem solver, and that's basically what I try to be.
What skills and experience do you have that you believe would be beneficial to you as a customer?
Again, I think...
Oh, sorry, did I already read that? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go on to 6. I apologize. What previous community involvement have you had in Blaine or in other city?
Again, on the board of directors, we have a lot of community involvement. We do a lot of community activities, Boys and Girls Club, DB SAS, Whatcom Dispute Resolution Center, a lot of fundraisers, and a lot of kids. Bellingham Bells, we do that. We deal with the Bellingham Bells, which is kind of fun for the job. As a law enforcement officer, again, going out in the community, doing community involvement, asking what is needed, and then trying to find solutions for those issues. Sports, a lot of involvement with sports. My son is a wrestler. And, loved the Battle at the Border up here. It was one of the premier tournaments. I was a runner. I was a runner myself for many, many years. So a lot of community involvement, a lot of activities.
Lastly, based on what you know about city government, what do you see as the top priorities for the city of Blaine tomorrow?
It's a tough financial time. It is a very difficult financial time coming out of COVID. I think that it's no secret that many communities across the United States are suffering the impacts of what occurred during COVID, the shutdowns, the loss of businesses. So I think that obviously controlled growth, income generation, streamlining department budgets, which is always painful, safeguarding the community, promoting community events. Like Blaine has a great tradition of bringing community events. I've been to several, enjoy them, great community events. Drawing the Canadian dollar back is another big thing. Getting the Canadians to come down and fuel up their cars. Searching for grant opportunities. It's always nice to get the federal dollar instead of using reserves if possible. If I could go into a little bit about when I was the chief of police, I used the opportunity to search for grants. Many chiefs of police find it difficult because grants require reporting. Reporting requires a lot of time and research. I got a $1.18 million grant to renovate the River Casino building into a justice center, bringing in the police department, the legal department, Veterans Affairs, Social Services, into one building when the building was just sitting fallow. I'm not sure that they've done much with that, but we did get the grant to do that. got a grant for $250,000 aluminum chamber safe boat from the CCAS grant folks so that we could patrol out in the bay out here and sort of coordinate with Border Patrol efforts. Used that patrol boat to leverage another grant from FEMA to get overtime paid for, to get fuel for the boat paid for, to get maintenance for the boat paid for. Boats are very expensive proposition.
You don't have to tell us that.
Yeah. I got COPS grants. Basically, we used a COPS hiring grant offset purchase salaries for three officers to pay for them for between 3 and 5 years. We got four police vehicles fully outfitted. We got a SkyCop system, which we moved into different communities, which does basically camera systems, and also you can have a license plate reader, so it can actually block who goes into the communities and problem areas. Help show you research when you try to find out who did what in the community. And again, those are all controversial programs that you need to sell to the community. There's always a side that doesn't particularly like that sort of thing. We put our camera system at the Norfolk Casino. We partnered those with the U.S. Border Patrol. Basically gave them access to the cameras. A lot of those grant opportunities you also have the access to because we're in a, what's called a HIDA, a high-intensity drug trafficking area, which is designated by the federal government. Also, human trafficking is also under that heading. So anything that you bring to the federal government that addresses assisting them in their efforts for controlling drug smuggling or human smuggling, they're usually willing to write you a check for. And one of the things I envision, if I was brought on board, I would love to sit down with the chief of police at Chufang and see what grants could be available to offset monies that are spent currently out of our dollars in the city budget. Because I certainly want to spend other people's money, the government's money, as opposed to the city's money, if at all possible.
All right, well, thank you. Any council members?
You answered the budget question fairly well, but is there anything you have to add about increasing revenues or decreasing spending as far as short-term or long-term for city planning?
You know, budgets are super tight, and I realize that. I think your downtown is beautiful. I think they can be expanded. I think there are programs through policies, your zoning, things of that nature that can be adjusted to welcome business in. I think that tax dollars are always, you know, coming from fuel tax dollars, but unfortunately, as the mayor pointed out to me, there's a lot of Canadian vehicles that are coming down that are Teslas and whatnot, so those tax dollars are lost. So you're always looking for other opportunities to expand that, whether those are electric charging stations, which there's federal grants available for. Sure they're highly sought after. There's lots of opportunities. I see the downtown as a jewel, and I pointed it out when I was in my 1 hour session. It's just fantastic. I mean, you go to White Rock and you look at the businesses and the assortment of restaurants, and you think of, you know, Lane has a charm to it. It's right on the water. You have a beautiful area down by the docks that have obviously, we spent lots of time and planning on, and I just think it's a diamond in the rough. It really is beautiful. So, thank you very much. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Does he have questions for us? Do you have any questions for us?
No. Actually, thank you so much, though, for the opportunity to speak today.
And Mr. Lewis, you're still here, right? I believe you had some of your questions and answers typed out.
Yes, I mean, I can give you those afterwards. Or
yeah, after we're done, yeah, we'll come collect those.
Sure, yeah.
And lastly, Martha Menard.
Thank
City Council requires a significant time commitment, usually 2 to 4 meetings a month, as well as reading prep prior to meetings. How well will this fit in? How will this fit in with your other commitments?
I'm semi-retired. My financial education business is part-time, and like Juliana, I control my own schedule. In terms of reading, I'm a fast reader, I have excellent comprehension, and I retain almost everything I read.
What do you believe is the role of City Council in our community?
The role of any City Council is to represent the interest of the citizens of the city and make decisions on behalf of the whole community.
Do you think you have any personal or professional relationships that could become a conflict of interest while serving as a council member?
None that I'm aware of. Is there a specific concern?
Specifically? No, nothing that comes to mind right now.
We're just seeing if
there is. We're just seeing if there is with you. What is your approach to handling controversial and complicated issues?
I believe in listening first, so that everyone feels heard, taking the time to research and to understand the issue, considering the impact of any potential solutions on all of the people involved, and then make a final decision that aligns with the city's priorities.
What skills and experience do you have that you believe would be beneficial to you as a council member?
I have professional experience in financial education. I've been a healthcare practitioner and researcher for many years. I also have experience in program evaluation, including grant writing and grants management. I'm very, very good at analyzing and synthesizing information. I have volunteer experience as a board member on a national and local level. I currently serve as a board member and treasurer for my homeowners association. And I bring life experience, perspective, and maturity.
What previous community involvement have you had in Blaine or any other city?
Previously, I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, and I served as the community member for the College of Charleston's Institutional Review Board. And for people who aren't familiar with IRBs, the role of the IRB is to oversee the research process from the perspective of the protection of people participating in the research. Since I've lived here in Blaine for the last 3 years, I am a member of the Chamber of Commerce as a small business owner. I support the Blaine Arts Council as a member.
Thank you. Based on what you know about city government, what do you see as the top priorities for the city and why?
I think that, as pretty much everybody else here has mentioned, economic development, beyond packages, milk, and gas is really a priority. I think the city is very much in need of more revenue to maintain existing services and expand services and amenities as more people move here. I think that Blaine is a very attractive area for people to move to, and particularly because while the current cost of housing everywhere is a lot higher than people would like for it to be, housing here is still relatively affordable compared to Bellingham, and I think that more people are going to move here.
City members of council have any questions?
We touched on it a little bit, but could you expand your answer a little bit for the finances, because specifically small municipalities are always struggling. Even before COVID, we were having a hard time with it. It's just the nature of the beast. So could you talk about how you would deal with revenue shortfalls and what your plan might be for the short-term or long-term health of the financial health of the city?
As a financial educator, I can tell you that you basically always have two choices. You can either increase your income, or you can find things to cut spending on. I think, as other people have mentioned, I think increasing tourism, opportunities for people to come and spend money and have money stay locally here in the economy is good. I think mixed use affordable housing is another possible way to bring more money into the community. I think looking for ways to attract clean industry, attract more business here that can contribute to the economy.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions for us?
Yes. How would you describe your strategic planning process?
That would be all wrapped up in our comprehensive plan, and we're just getting started on that.
How often do you do that?
Once every 20 years. But we do review it mid-year, don't we, Mike?
We do have a, every couple of years we bring in a consultant and go through a strategic planning process with the council. And then our comp plans we do review on a 10-year cycle, sometimes more often utility comp plans.
A lot of it is done by staff and experts, and it has a lot of details in it. And so in our capacity as citizens who are part-time, we're looking at fairly prepared works. And so if we're really decisive and spot individual details, we can say, well, how about this or how about that, and maybe adjust it slightly. But we're certainly not the ones rolling up our sleeves and at the drawing board generating the whole stack. It's just a matter of so we can do some slight modifications. In Councilmember Lopez's case, he actually reads the whole entire thing and comes back with a bunch of post-it notes and red pen circles for us. But the rest of us have to just kind of cherry pick a few things here and there.
I'm very familiar with, having served on some boards previously, I'm really familiar with the difference between being responsible for setting policy versus the implementation of policy. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to have a study session on the balance of the funds to be presented for the proposed 2025 budget. So included in your packet, we have the, just as an overview, the capital projects were already presented at the Public Works presentation and also at the 2025 operating budget presentation if there was equipment that went with that. So these other funds are the small funds that are remaining that aren't public works funds and are not in the general fund. So the first is traffic impact reserve fund, fund 102. We can see the traffic impact fees that are going to come in, as well as any expenditures which there are not. You've got the beginning fund balance, revenues, expenses, and the ending fund balance that are going to be presented on each report. As far as highlights go, there are no expenditures in Fund 102.
Sorry to interrupt. Where can we find this information? You said we had it in our packet.
We don't have anything.
I believe I should have been a link included for this
posted online.
I thought it would be good for us to jump in and maybe talk about how the process for selection of a council member will flow the rest of this afternoon. I think, unfortunately, some of our candidates already left. But for the candidates in the room, if I may just take a minute and overview the process.
Sure.
So thank you very much for interviewing for council. I just want to first off say thank you for that. This position requires a lot of time and effort, and it's essentially volunteer effort. So just thank you for your interest, first and foremost. So what we'll do later is the council will go into executive session. They will talk about the qualifications of a particular council member or all of the council members. They will not take any action in executive session. They will come out of executive session and then talk about the proposed nominations at the meeting probably later on this evening, most likely. Council doesn't have to make a nomination tonight, but they may. So if you're interested in what will happen, we encourage you to stay. If not, we'll reach out to you and let you know what the process, what the outcome of the process after this evening. So thank you very much, and I'd like to turn the floor back over to Jennifer, if I may.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, so apologies if this wasn't posted online, but we'll go ahead and send it out to all the council members. These are just the balance of the smaller funds. So we've got the Traffic Impact Reserve Fund. You can see the projected beginning balance there for 2025, the revenue of traffic impact fees of $250,000 based on prior year projections, and then no expenditures out of this fund. So it'll just continue to accrue. We've got the next fund is Fund 103. Oh, we have Fund 107 next. And so that is the current expense general reserve fund, and so that can be used for improvements as well as emergency items that come up anywhere across the city, but preferably first in the general fund since it's not a very restricted fund. And then there is budgeted a library HVAC replacement. Now this item was originally presented to you in the general fund budget as part of the library facilities. However, it makes more sense to go ahead and move it here for the 2025 proposed budget, as this is a more restricted fund than just a regular general fund. So that's $60,000 there. Fund 112 is the Community Service and Drug Education Fund. So the next several funds are related to public safety, and so they generally have very little activity. They're very restricted funds and can only be used for certain things. This can only be used for drug education related items, and we don't have any income or expenditures that'll be proposed out of there for 2025. The next page should be Fund 113. So this is also a public safety fund, the Criminal Justice Fund, and we don't anticipate any income into this fund. However, we're going to expend $90,000 for the in-vehicle laptops that Chief went over at the last presentation, just to say that this is what we're going to do. However, the funding for that project comes out of Fund 113.
May I ask a question? Back to the drug education funds that you're not proposing anything from. When it's such an important issue, why aren't we doing anything? Or am I misunderstanding what you mean by no activity is anticipated?
Deputy Mayor?
Yes, please.
So what Ms. Feidel said is there's no revenue coming into that fund, but the laptop purchase that the chief has proposed is proposed to be expensed out of that fund. So if you look at 2025 budget, you'll see total expenditures of $90,000. And
I'm referring to the education, the drug education fund that was that couple. Are you able to back up?
Could you go back? What I can tell you, when Sergeant Green jumped in, is that drug education in our police department is ongoing. We are in the classrooms. We are continually handing out flyers. The 4th of July, our PD goes downtown and does certain things. So it's an ongoing effort that is also funded out of the general fund.
So that those funds will be spent.
That activity will continue no matter what this reflects.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may add to that, that is something that Chief Funding has been talking about a lot since he's been here. How to use that fund, how to use that to better the community and do some more things with it.
We can go to the next page, please. So Fund 114 is law enforcement seizure and forfeiture. This the money comes from any state or federally assets that are seized, and a portion of that goes to the city of Blaine. It is also a restricted fund, and we don't have any planned expenditures out of here, so anything that is planned expenditure will come out of the general fund. Should we get through the year and we see that something is able to be spent out of either that Fund 112, which we just had a question on, or this fund, then we would come back to council and say we'd like a budget change to go ahead and use this more restricted fund instead of the general fund. The next page is Fund 115, Unmanned Aerial System Fund. This is was a drone program, and we don't have any anticipated expenditures out of here at this time for 2025. Similar is Fund 116, the Police and Cops Grant Fund. There's just a very small amount of money in there, and we're trying to determine how to expend that so we can not have to report on $229. The next fund is Fund 118, which is the Transportation Benefit District. We went over that with Public Works, so it's just the next in my book here. So we have Fund 201. We have this is one of our debt service funds, and so the fund is just to pay the debt that is on the Banner Bank, this building here. And so it gets down to zero at the end of the year, and then we'll fund it again with transfers from REIT and the general fund. Next, we have Fund 202, also a debt service fund. And again, that fund will end with a zero balance, and it gets transfers from real estate excise tax, and then the principal and the interest on the loan for 2025.
When you said REIT, I'm assuming you were referring to the real estate excise tax. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Okay. Fund 203 is our last debt service fund, and so the money again is transferred in from other funds, and then it goes to service the debt for this loan. And at the end of each page, it says when the loan matures. So the final payment on this one, for example, which is covered over with the proposed water max, is 10/15/2028. So just so we can know when that falls off and we can spend the money elsewhere. So then we have REIT 1. This is the first half of 1% that we receive, and so that is the revenues that we anticipate from there, as well as related interest earnings, and then the different items that that's going to go to fund. So it's going to, some of the money goes to street operations, some of it goes to fund our debt, and the Waukamee EDI loan debt, and then we have our levy improvement fund, so that's going to go towards our capital items, that $351,000. Would have gone over what those specific capital items were during the Public Works presentation. And then we have Fund 307. This is our general fund capital improvements. We don't have very much coming out of here, except for the balance of the Tyler software. So the $62,000 that is to finish the implementation of the Tyler software. Fund 308 is the second half of REIT that we received. REIT 1 and 2 are separated because they have slightly different spending restrictions according to the RCWs. And we have the money that we anticipate from there, as well as the interest income, and then the just one transfer out into the street fund. So this is just a holding fund for those dollars, and then they get transferred out to the other funds for expenditure. Fund 332 is our street preservation fund, and so that goes to cover everything street related and how to get from one place to another, so it could also be walking paths. And so we have $52,000 going out to Fund 101 for streets. Great. Fund 402 is the Electric Utility Rural Economic Development Fund, and there is neither income nor expense anticipated for 2025 in that fund. And then Fund 505, the Advanced Travel Fund, it just always stays with $2,000. It's a reimbursement fund, so this is for any travel anticipated for council members, and then if there is travel, then it's just reimbursed from this fund and we replenish it from the general fund. So our municipal code requires that we have it set up.
Okay, should be, is that the last page?
And those are the remaining funds that we had not covered for the 2025 proposed budget.
All right, thank you very much. Are there any questions? So once again, it looks like you have the option of being Dr. Granger just arrived. We could just keep the accelerated schedule and take the break at the end, or we could take a break now and do it by the 7 schedule, which you prefer.
I prefer to take it between the study session and the general.
Sure, let's do that. Dr. Granger, if you are prepared and ready, by all means.
Can I connect to the...
Yep.
Okay. My apologies, I thought I was first up, so I thought I was early.
No, you are. Okay. Yeah, you're at 5:30. We started at 4 today.
Oh, well, look at you guys. Answer that.
There's an HDMI on that side.
Awesome.
How are you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Let's see here. Thank you, guys.
If you want to be sized, we're going to pop this in over here if you can do that, and then I'll give you a clicker.
Oh, yeah. I need a converter because I have USB, USB-C.
Okay.
Where did it?
Popped up for a minute.
Did it? Luckily, I brought a converter with me.
Oh, perfect.
When you have Apple, you travel with all your things because
yes,
not everybody has the Apple ones. What's that?
Superintendent IP.
Yeah, yeah. That's the joy of being an assistant superintendent in a small district. You kind of do all the things. So then when you become a superintendent, you're like, oh, I've done that. But I kind of know what I'm doing. Okay, so now if we just get it on the screen, we're good to go.
Yeah, I'll try and reboot the system.
Okay, sorry.
We're halfway there. Well, I can get started while you work on that. First, I just want to thank you for the opportunity and the time to come speak to you guys this evening. Certainly encounter many of you out in the community at different events that I go to, but it's nice to see you here in your official capacity and present to you in official capacity. I'll have some things to talk about and then open for questions at the end as well. I know my first slide is a lot about just the appreciation that I have for the city and the partnerships that the district has with the city. Most recently reflected in the video series that was created, and the city reached out asking for the district to partner with that, realizing that, you know, safe schools and partnerships with the school district are as important to us and our families as it is to the city and its families that it serves. So between the police department and the city prosecutor and the city manager, we continue to have really positive, meaningful relationships with the city, and we appreciate that. As one of the largest employers of the city, it's important that we work together. And knowing that government entities often have similar budgetary challenges, the ability to partner and work together to serve this community is a testament to the people and leadership in both organizations. So from the council table to the board table to the city leadership and the district leadership, we just appreciate the positivity that we can bring into this community.
With apologies, Dr. Granger.
Yes.
Sam, have you a thumb drive? So if you could scoot that PowerPoint onto a thumb drive, you put it in your machine, it goes right to our monitors. Would that be okay?
Councilor, yes, that would definitely work if I had a thumb drive on me. I can try and find one.
I have a thumb drive right here.
We think it might be the display set.
I think it's a display set on your computer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You put the display here.
Yeah, I think he's just going to adjust the display on the computer.
Okay, sorry. Might have found the one thing that I can't fix real quickly.
It was emailed to me too. Worst case scenario, I can.
Oh yeah, yeah. Displays. What's the name of your screen there? Sometimes at the school, unplugging it and plugging it back in works.
Yeah.
We don't do it. Most of our connections are through like Apple TV.
Mm.
So it's probably operator on my side. But I can certainly email it to you.
Yeah, if you nothing, that'd be, that's going to work as well. I can pop it into the other.
Yeah, yeah, that works. Cool. Okay.
Sending an email.
Could be a good partner in problem solving as we look forward and then talk a little bit about the bond initiative that's on the ballot at November 5th, and then for questions. So the last one is that this month is Bullying Prevention Month, and we provided a proclamation to you guys, asking for you to support through proclamation the efforts we're putting together to decrease and eliminate bullying in our schools and our community. So talking a little bit, can I walk around, or do you need me to stay in one place?
To the chair.
Is that okay? All right. In August, we had a school supply drive for students. We served 185 students in need of school supplies, so about 10% of our student population. Also, 39 students are currently signed up for the Weekend Food Bag Program. That's a partnership through Wild Bird Charities that allows students and bring home food on the weekends for times when they might have food insecurity. This one is kind of eye-opening for people. In the last school year, we served 91 students through our McKinney-Vento and foster care programs. Those are our homeless families and those in foster care. That makes up about 4% of our student population. So I think sometimes when you say 91 students, it still feels like a large number, but 4% really hits home kind of the struggles that some of our families are encountering in our community that they're seeking partnership to solve. One of those partnerships is a program called Operation School Bell that provides school clothes for 123 students. They give them gift cards to JCPenney's and other retailers to go actually shop and pick out the clothes that they'd like to have. So we appreciate that. Also, Thanksgiving, we are already up to 58 families that are receiving or slated to receive support for Thanksgiving meals. And then 8 providers in the community are assisting holiday programs. We're up to 138 students and their families being served through gifts and meals in the holiday season. So just as an indication of kind of the growing need in our community, I think this is also reflected. I think you have heard about the needs at the food bank and some of the challenges that they have as well. It's just another representation of families in need in our community. So just want to talk a little bit about enrollment. Enrollment is everything about how we get funded is driven by enrollment. We have a lot of work to do with the legislature around the funding of schools in this state, but to talk a little bit about the local context, in Whatcom County, we continue to see declining birth rates. Actually, the projection in the next 10 years is that death rate will outpace birth rate, so we will see an increase in population, but not in school-age children. We also have larger senior classes than kindergarten, so for the last 3 years, we've brought in an average of 114 kindergarten students, while we have numbers in other grade levels that hover between 140 and 160. So you're seeing, 20 to 40 students more graduate than are entering the system. So over time, that's going to have an impact in the district. In addition, the politicalization of education and personal preferences for families has led to a lot of discussion, not just in Wayne, around the state and country, around curriculum, what is being taught, how it's being taught, and families are making decisions that align with their personal and political beliefs, and that is causing them to, we see families come to Washington, we also see families leave the state of Washington. To respond to that, we have implemented a curriculum review schedule that every year we will review different levels of our curriculum so that we can continue to be responsive to the local community context of where we are. And this year we're looking at our kinder through fifth grade literacy curriculum to ensure that it has all the components of reading and early literacy that would be important to long-term development. In addition, post-COVID, there's increased educational options for students. This year is our first year we started an online learning protocol. So students who wish to do online learning can do that if they're in grades 6 through 12 through the Blaine School District. So there was always a WAVA option, a statewide online learning option. We made that local. There was some research that we did with families that had recently left the district for online learning options to say what was it that attracted you to what you chose, and if we had one locally, what would that look like for you? And so the advantage that this program offers that others don't for our families is students can actually choose a hybrid type model. So if they want to attend our welding program, culinary arts program, and engineering, they can do that in the building while still doing some of their other courses online. So it does afford them the opportunity to make the decision that's best for them. And then the final piece, and we don't just see it in enrollment, but we also see it as an employer. We're very blessed to have an experienced staff, but with 48 teachers at the top of the salary schedule, we also have people that are approaching the end of their career. And as we try to attract the next group of educators to bring the best to Blaine for our students, we are experiencing challenges in those people finding housing. Affordable housing is a hurdle that I hear about where I'm at, who I'm talking to. I think it's reflected in the increase in the homeless population we're serving. And when families have to make choices about where they live and how close they are to access services, I want to be a partner with the city and with you guys, and how do we make that a feasible option for us so that we can attract the best for our students and ensure that they can live in our community. It's not unheard of that many of our staff live outside of our district. I think one of the challenges that presents is that they are less connected with the local context and the local feel of this community, and what this community values itself on is not the same as the values of a Bellingham or an Everson. And so the more we can get employees and families into our community and feel like they can afford to live here and sustain that for their families, I think would be great. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity for us to investigate things together and how we can make that a realistic outcome for people in Blaine now and in the future. And I can just speak to that on a personal level. It took our family 13 offers on housing to even get a house in town. And I consider myself to be well compensated, and the interest rate plus the cheapest housing in town being north of $500,000 is close to a $4,000 a month house payment. And I don't know that that's attainable for many of the families that we service, and I would love to continue working with the city and the council on how we can address that in a way that's positive and productive for everybody. Because I know in attending and talking to local business owners in town, there are plenty of people that are wrapping their mind around how do we make Blaine attractive. I think the video series is a way to show the great things that we're doing. But the thing that makes Blaine great is people come here and stay here. Those people got here when housing was affordable and they're staying here, and I'd love to see that be the future for us as well. So. Next up is the bond. Hopefully many of you got your bond information in the mailbox yesterday or today. If not, I have some copies that I brought with me. Ballots are going out this week, and just wanted to highlight some of the projects in case you haven't seen these. These are all conceptual drawings, so they're not finalized renderings or anything like that. They're just the opportunity for people to visualize what it could look like. The cornerstone of this bond project, it's a $70 million bond project with no increase in the tax rate. So we have some things coming off the books that will be replaced by this. And so this would be a three-story middle school in the current footprint of the existing middle school, retaining some of the larger spaces like the cafeteria and the band hall to keep the cost down and keep the pack, but reduce the number of entrances and exits. One of the big feedbacks from our parents is safety. And the middle school original hallway that still exists was built in 1956, so it's approaching 70 years old.
And as you add on to buildings over time, you create nooks and crannies that middle school children are very adept at finding. So two clear line of sight hallways, three stories, so the ability to see from one end of the hall to the other in a clear line of sight, certainly something that was important to the committee. Next is pipeline, and this was a project that we previously worked with the city and with the lobbyists that you guys use. We also used in Olympia. But there's part of that land that's not in the city, it's in the county, so that was a hurdle. But out there at Pipeline, we're looking to put in running water and sewer, so the building on the top left is actually a building that will be put onto solid concrete, so no more porta-potties, access to restrooms and concession stands out there. And then turfing both of the, if you're familiar with baseball at Pipeline, what you're looking at, the top of that picture is the current baseball field as it sits, and the field behind it is the current JV baseball field that will be converted to softball. So you'll be able to see baseball and softball in the same area. And then one of the things that I've mentioned to Mr. Harmon is an idea to try to have a city partnership with the other side of Pipeline that maybe could be turned into more city fields through a partnership with the city and the school district. We know that access to park-type or playfield-type facilities in our community is a challenge, and so the ability to collaborate around that we think would be a great opportunity. This would also allow us to use the facilities year-round for our students, but also generate some revenue out of this facility, much like we have on the football field that's in use very often, and a side of it is many of our youth football games happen here, so families aren't driving all over the county. So that's also a benefit to our local families. And if we get this done, we're going to continue to be the jewel of Whatcom County with our facilities, middle school and high school, with two brand new buildings and athletic facilities that will make Blaine what everybody's seeking to do. I think it's great in November when places like Linden Christian have to rent our football field to play here, because our facility is something that is able to host playoff games, which not anybody else can speak to in our county. Then the next up is this elementary covered area. If you're familiar with the elementary, how it sits now, this is currently an old tennis court. This is an adjustment from the February bond issue. This wasn't on the February ballot. This is an add to the November. Did not increase the cost, but we're going to convert this to be outdoor recess and PE, which is one of our challenges in the weather like today. Indoor recess occurred because we don't have a lot of spaces for students to go during those times of the year. Underneath there, you will see a tennis court, a pickleball court, and a basketball court that will be accessible also to the community year-round. We are not getting rid of the 9-foot basketball goals. That's typically the question I get after that. That's a Blaine specialty. So the nines, as they're so...
Can't get rid of the nines.
Not happening. Just put that rumor to bed. And this just talks a little bit about the way the bond is structured to keep the tax rate flat at the 76 cents per thousand through the year 2046. So a 20-year bond investment, you'll see the orange boxes on the left are an expiring capital levy that are coming off the books that will be replaced, if we're so fortunate to pass this in about 3 weeks, with a proposed bond and keep it at 76 cents per thousand. So that's what I have, but I figured questions was probably the most important part of this. So.
Is our school's tax rate, how does it compare to ones in the region?
Okay, thank you, great question. So Blaine School District has the third lowest tax rate in Skagit and Whatcom County together, and that's bond, levy, and everything together. So it's the lowest in Whatcom County, third lowest in Skagit and Whatcom combined. Thank you for your question.
You mentioned that the PAC is in this new building, is that correct?
The PAC is staying where it is, but it will have a couple million dollars worth of lighting and sound upgrades. So if you haven't seen one of the recent theater productions, they do a phenomenal job. They did Mamma Mia last spring. It was great.
Definitely microphones and lighting can be improved. And Mike Dahl, for those of you that know Mike, is a great partner in identifying what that should be replaced with.
What kind of entrance will you have? Because are you going to have it off of H Street, or are you going to have it, off of Mitchell, or off of the parking lot behind the building?
Conceptually, we would expect it to be how it's represented, so off of H Street. One of the questions that we'll have when the build happens is whether we can push that parking area a little bit closer to the actual road to have two lanes of traffic. That's a request from our parents. But an H Street entrance, as it is now, on the corner of the building, most likely close to the high school, if we can create two lanes of traffic, it'll prevent the, right now you have a turn in and a turn out in the same location. So if we can widen that and have a middle school exit and a high school entrance that don't conflict with each other would probably be our ideal outcome.
Any further questions?
Deputy Mayor, I've got one.
Yes.
We hear from time to time about the possibility of elementary school in Birch Bay, which would impact Blaine.
Yeah.
Could you speak maybe a little bit to that?
For sure. Thank you for that. When the committee was meeting and talking about this bond issue, one of the things that they considered was whether we would build the or ask the community to approve an elementary in Birch Bay, knowing that the previous bond had allocated $1 million to purchase land for that purpose. When the committee contemplated that, with declining enrollment, it didn't seem to make sense to the committee to do an actual school in this bond initiative, and that's where they settled on the middle school, knowing that it'll serve all students of the community, regardless of whether they live in Birch Bay or Blaine. We continue to go down the road of trying to buy property. Wetlands are a significant hurdle in Birch Bay. But we're committed to continuing that and making that property into a playfield type facility until a school is eventually built on there in the long term. So the property acquisition continuing, the building of a school and elementary right now isn't happening in Birch Bay relative to the big feedback being people didn't want to see increased taxes. And so the ability to kind of thread the needle on a new middle school, no new taxes. I really had a concern when I talked to the committee that if we were to invest a significant amount of millions of dollars into the elementary school, at the same time saying that we intend for an elementary to be built in Birch Bay down the road would seem to be in conflict with each other. And I think misinformation is one of our big hurdles in elections. So trying to be really clear, that's the future, this is now, and this building would serve all students of the district, regardless of where they live, was really important to us.
What percentage of kids at the school are like Blaine City Limits kids, and what are Birch Bay, and what might just be the rest of the county?
Yeah, so based on our transportation data, so who rides buses, it's pretty close to 50-50. Based on transportation data, we also have obviously walkers within 1 mile. I think one of our big wonderings as development happens is who's purchasing them, and there may be less children per household working remotely from this beautiful location where you can look out on the water. Looks a lot better than downtown Seattle. And so we welcome them here and want to continue to partner to make the town attractive to everyone.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for bearing with the technology and all that. I appreciate it. And I know you've already had a little bit of time here, so thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we will have a recess for about 15 or so minutes. We'll continue at 6 o'clock.